the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk. But there's some great ideas in there for us to think about. We're thinking about them this morning. We'll explain a bit more. We're thinking about how we can give more, and we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 to 9. And Chip Salisbury is going to come and read it for us as we start thinking about it, and we'll explain it and apply it afterwards. And it'll be on the screens too, so you can look it up if you want to, but it'll be on the screens throughout, so you'll be able to follow what we're doing.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 to 9. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Let's pray together quickly. Lord, we praise and thank you for the gift of Scripture. And we pray that you'd really work within us so that we can understand and apply it to our lives. We also thank you for Dave, and we pray that you would guide him as he unpacks your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great stuff. Thanks, Chip. I don't know about you, I think you can tell a lot about a person if you can find out a little bit about how they spend their money and how they spend their time. Or if you could get a glimpse at their bank statement and their diary, you could tell a lot about that person if you could do that. Probably have to be a bit sneaky to do that, though. Now, Paul, going back to our passage, he's writing to Christians in Corinth about their giving. But he doesn't give them a number or an amount. And he doesn't tell them how they should give or how much they should give. He just says, look at what Jesus gave and give like that. Consider what Jesus gave and then consider what you should give and how you should give. In the Bible, we see that Jesus gave up everything by becoming a human being, by living a life of suffering and rejection, by dying in our place for our sin, selfishness and shame, and by defeating death for us, so that we, by trusting and following him, could know God personally and have forgiveness, friendship with God, life to the full, and life forever, and so that we could give more for others, because Jesus gave more for us. This is the example he's talking about. Jesus gave it all. The hymn we've just sang actually puts it fantastically, doesn't it? And I don't know it very well, actually, but the words just put it brilliantly. The extent that God went to and the amount that he gave up for us is incredible. But how many of you are gutted he didn't say a number? When I was reading it, I was thinking, it would have been much easier if he'd have just said a tenner or even 10%. Sometimes we say 10%, don't we? And sometimes the Bible suggests that amount too. But it would be much easier if he just said put a number on it, wouldn't it? And I can imagine people in Corinth thinking, okay, how much is it going to cost me for God to agree with me that I'm generous enough? And it's totally the wrong attitude, isn't it? And that's exactly why he doesn't put a number on it. It's not about having a generous-looking bank statement or a generous-looking diary. Those things are too easy to brag about. It's about having a generous and selfless heart that expresses itself in those ways and in other ways too. So how can we have a heart like this that wants to give more? Because that's what Paul's talking about, really. He is asking for money, isn't he? And other things as well. But he really cares about their hearts that want to give more. Like Jesus gave more. So, two things I'd say. How can we get this heart? First thing, if you're not a Christian, if you're not yet trusting and following Jesus, God wants to give you a new heart. He doesn't want to brush up the old one and help you try harder to be good enough for him. He wants to give you a new heart. He wants to move in to your life. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, God shows us what he wants to do for each of us. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So if you don't trust and follow Jesus yet, you need to bring him all your selfishness, trust him to forgive you and start following him. And he'll give you a new heart that wants to give more to others because he gave more for you. And maybe there's people here this morning who haven't yet come to Jesus in that way. You should. He wants to forgive you and give you a new heart and help you to know him and be like him. There are lots of us here, though, who've already done that, haven't we? And you're Christians already. You're already trusting and following Jesus, but you know, perhaps, that your new heart needs to grow more in this area of giving and selflessness. So my suggestion is, how about we make some tough choices to give more money and make some tough choices to give more time this Christmas, even if our heart's not yet in it totally. Even if we don't feel like it, let's do it anyway. Let's make ourselves do it. Let's make it a discipline. Jesus says in Luke 12, verse 34, he says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It's about putting your money where your mouth is, isn't it? He's saying, if you put money into something, you'll start caring about it more because you're financially invested in it. You'll start to be emotionally invested in it as well. So when we start obeying God, despite how we feel sometimes, it's amazing how we start to feel like it more because it's costing us a bit to do what we're told. And God is changing us and showing us what the deepest desires of our new heart really are. Deeper than our sinful, selfish desires, are the desires he's put in us because he's put this new heart in us as well as Christians. So, if you're not yet a Christian, come to Jesus, bring him your sin. Let him give you a new heart that is like his, that wants to give more like he gives more. And if you're a Christian already, let's start putting into practice a bit more. Maybe we'll become emotionally more invested in giving and in others if we start putting our money where our mouth is, and our time as well, and other things too. And we'll see later on some practical ideas from Chrissy about how we can all give more this Christmas. But that stuff is so limited unless we actually start by asking Jesus to give us new, generous, selfless hearts that want to give more because he gave more for us. This is the example that Paul's given us. How did Jesus give more? He gave it all. He gave everything. Sometimes we talk about 10%, don't we? And sometimes we might complain, how can God want 10% from me? That's not fair. And sometimes I wonder if God looks at people giving 10% and thinks, how come they get to keep 90? That's not fair. Look at the way they're spending it. It's not that godly. It's not about the numbers. It's about a heart, a selfless heart. So let's do the numbers, but let's start with the heart first. I think that's where Paul's coming from in this particular passage. So that's lots for us to think about. And we're going to think more about that right now because in a moment, we're going to share bread and wine together. I'm just going to pray for us just now. We're going to share bread and wine together, remembering what Jesus did, how he gave more. He gave himself, he gave his life, he gave his body, he gave his blood so that we could know God personally and be forgiven and know him and be like him. So let me pray for us as we prepare our hearts just to remember what Jesus did. Father, thank you for your incredible love. Thank you that we have a God who gave it all, gave everything to come and rescue us from our sin and from our rebellion against you. Lord, thank you that that's who you are and that's what you did for us. Help us to remember that now, to consider it again, and to celebrate it together. Amen.